Early in the morning, Jesus was taken from Caiaphas' house to the governor's palace. The Jewish authorities did not go inside the palace, for they wanted to keep themselves ritually clean in order to be able to eat the Passover meal. So Pilate went outside to them and asked,
"What do you accuse this man of?"
"We would not have brought him to you if he had not committed a crime."
"Then you yourselves take him and try him according to your own law."
"We are not allowed to put anyone to death."
This happened in order to make come true what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he would die. Pilate went back into the palace and called Jesus.
If you'd like to, could stick Testing, 1, 2, testing. Hi, good morning, church family. How we doing? Woo! That's because I'm not leading, and I'm just here chilling out, so...
From memory, it's just a chorus and verse. Maybe what Brett has put up.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not at Calvary. Well,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Calvary, and then there's at Calvary. I don't know a number for you. Davey, on... can you find Calvary for me on there, please? The first song, put it up. And put the words up for me. Hey, don't. Serious for a second. So you exchanged my curses for blessings. Does that look right? That wasn't on the list. All right. Yeah. Is there a number in there at all for that song?
They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You have you would have no authority over you would have no authority over me at all, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greatest sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar."
Yes, you are. A little more piano in the front fold.
Hello.
Front of house. 1, 2. Testing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the part where it goes,
channel do you want it in, Jace?
Well, Brett. Let's listen to what we've got. 4.
That's good.
Yeah, sorry. I keep moving
on. No, it's to the right.
To the right? Well, maybe Brett just needs to... Brett, you just have to stand to the left of the pulpit so that we're focused, so that we're blocking the reflection.
Just take a step
this way. Hello, Jason. Good evening, Jason.
Sickness for health. You removed my guilt with forgiveness and supply all my needs with your wealth. My hatred you've given me your perfect love, peace in place of my strife. You've given me faith instead of doubt. The death that you died gave me
sung this one for ages.
I've never heard this.
No.
Not a clue.
This was classic. Or is it Brown Book? Okay, there you go. It's classic Brown Book.
No, it's yellow.
Yeah, I thought it was yellow book.
Okay.
Right, well, so we're just going to sing it through once.
Yeah,
we'll do it twice in the main one. Yeah, okay, cool.
How many verses are there?
It's just the same verse over again. It's just repeated one. So it's not a big one.
Maybe.
It's only a little one.
So
we could just do.
Yeah, I don't even think I know this one.
Too well.
I know it, but I couldn't remember it.
Thank you.
Christine at all. You there? I couldn't hear.
Did you?
That's what we need.
We got no fallback, is it?
Oh. We might be flying solo yet. We're done. See you later.
That's such a mere face. Have a good
No. Are we going to the next one?
Yeah, next song, please.
Are you washed?
Yes, okay, we're going to...
Hey, Aaron, can I get you to disperse the wafer at communion time? The wafer.
Yeah, just have to give a
wafer. Wafer thin?
Can we get rid of quite a few of them real quick so we get back onto bread?
It's actually...
Okay, can we please practice? Yeah, we've got 13 minutes. Because these are unfamiliar somewhat.
All right.
You don't know this one either.
Oh, let's do... Are we washed? Oh,
next song, please, David.
Of that have we got, Dave? Four?
I didn't realise that quite a number of people haven't heard this song, so it's been a while since we've sung it, so we'll sing Calvary all the way through, and yeah, please stand, or if you want to stand, you can sit if you'd like to. Good to remember that we've been set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now this morning we've got a few Bible readings, and Dale is going to do the first one, so I'll hand over to Dale.
Okay, this morning we're reading through from John chapter 18 verse 1 to 19. to the end of the chapter there. There'll be quite a lot of scripture reading. You're welcome to follow along on the screen behind me or in your own Bibles. Verses 1 to 14. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. It won't be a typical sermon and service this morning. Like I said, it will be a lot of scripture and a lot of time for you to reflect. But Jesus and his disciples have just celebrated the Passover feast. That was what verse 1 spoke about. When he had spoken these words, he went out to the garden at the brook Kidron. This feast was established when God saved the Israelites through the plagues and brought them out of slavery in Egypt. The Passover in particular was the time of the last plagues, where the spirit of death passed over the nation of Egypt and took their firstborn sons. And the Israelites were instructed to slaughter a lamb that was without blemish, perfect in every way, and they were to eat the meat and save the blood for their doorposts. And the blood painted over their doorposts was to save them from the plague of death, causing it to pass over them and save them out of slavery on the next day. Now, I trust that the connection with this feast and the associated plagues and the saving out of slavery, the salvation that we have, is not lost on us. In the way as Jesus celebrated this Passover, just before he was to be the perfect Passover lamb. As his time was drawing near for him to be the Passover lamb, he and his disciples retreat to the garden to pray, and then he is betrayed and arrested. And with Peter's often rash decision-making and approach, Peter drew out his sword and struck the servant's ear, cutting it off completely. Thinking still that Jesus' kingdom that he spoke about had to be obtained by force, this was his reckoning behind this action. But Jesus quickly put a stop to this, saying, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Jesus was then taken to the chief priest. And again, I hope that the connection with what John writes in verse 14 is not lost on us either. Verse 14 says, "It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people." Jesus has been betrayed by one of his closest followers. But he knew all along that this was what was going to happen. He knew that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, the common price for a slave to be sold for. He knew that it was going to be Judas who dipped his hand into the same washing bowl at dinner that night. He knew that he was to be the Passover lamb that would be the salvation for all his people. He knew that he was going to be that person that Caiaphas spoke of. Let's continue reading from verse 15 of chapter 18. Thanks, Jody.
Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I have said to them. They know what I have said. When he said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? And Jesus answered him, If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas the priest.
After the initial drama in the garden, where Jesus was arrested and the disciples were dispersed, two of his disciples returned and followed Jesus and his captors to the temple. And this is where Peter denies Jesus three times. Once in front of a servant girl, once with a group around a fire of seemingly insignificant people, and once with the relative of the man whom he cut off. Peter, the disciple that told Jesus that he would lay down his life for him, was now denying him in front of what we would say are insignificant people. The other disciple that followed Jesus into the temple, and we can assume that's John, was in somewhat more danger than Peter was, and yet he didn't deny Jesus. When Peter heard the rooster crow, just like Jesus had told him that it would, it must have cut him to the heart. Now, if we're brutally honest with ourselves, each one of us have at some time or another betrayed or denied Jesus, either in a large way or a small way. We've not followed Jesus perfectly. We've not been the disciples that we hope we would. And Easter is a time when we are reminded of our failures, like Peter and like Judas. And yet, even in the face of our failures, like Peter, we can be restored to Jesus. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice in our place, He lived the life that we couldn't live and ultimately paid the price that we couldn't pay. Regardless of our own betrayal or denial of Jesus, if we are repentant of these actions, Jesus is mighty to save us. I invite you to stand and sing that song with us, Mighty to Save.
The next reading, Aaron's going to read from John 18, 28 through to 40. Thanks.
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, so that they could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your own law." And the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anybody to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again, and he called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did the others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is the truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber.
Good morning, church family. I'll be reading from chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold the man. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar.
We have a short video that reenacts those very passages of Scripture. Thanks, Dave.
Early in the morning, Jesus was taken from Caiaphas' house to the governor's palace. The Jewish authorities did not go inside the palace, for they wanted to keep themselves ritually clean in order to be able to eat the Passover meal. So Pilate went outside to them and asked,
What do you accuse this man of?
We would not have brought him to you if he had not committed a crime.
Then you yourselves take him and try him according to your own law.
We are not allowed to put anyone to death.
This happened in order to make come true what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he would die. Pilate went back into the palace and called Jesus.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Does this question come from you? Or have others told you about me?
Do you think I'm a Jew? It was your own people and the chief priests who handed you over to me. What have you done?
My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. No. My kingdom does not belong here.
Are you a king, then?
You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this one purpose. To speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me.
And what is truth?
Then Pilate went back outside to the people and said to them,
I cannot find any reason to condemn him, but... according to the custom you have, I always set free a prisoner for you during the Passover. Do you want me to set free for you, the King of the Jews?
They answered him with a shout. Barabbas was a bandit. Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped. The soldiers made a crown out of thorny branches and put it on his head. Then they put a purple robe on him and came to him and said, Long live the King of the Jews. And they went up and slapped him. Pilate went back out once more and said to the crowd,
Look, I will bring him out here to you to let you see that I cannot find any reason to condemn him. Look, here is the man.
So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Crucify him! Crucify him!
You take him then and crucify him. I find no reason to condemn him.
We have a law that says he ought to die because he claimed to be the Son of God.
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. He went back into the palace and asked Jesus,
Where do you come from?
But Jesus did not answer.
You will not speak to me. Remember, I have the authority to set you free and also to have you crucified.
You have authority over me. Only because it was given to you by God. So the man who handed me over to you is guilty of a worse sin.
When Pilate heard this, he tried to find a way to set Jesus free.
If you set him free, that means you are not the emperor's friend.
Anyone who claims to be a king is a rebel against the emperor.
Out of the gospel writers, only John gives us so much detail about the interviews that Pilate has with Jesus and before the high priest as well. Not only does he give us details about what was said, but also the motives behind how each of the accusers behaved. but also how the motive of Pilate was to try and free Jesus because he knew that he had done nothing wrong. Since the Jews didn't have the legal right to put Jesus to death, they brought their case before Pilate, and normally the Pilate, the governor, lived in Caesarea. But during the great feasts, like the Passover, it was important for him to come to Jerusalem in case of riots or insurrection. Pilate's interaction is very interesting, especially his words in verse 38. He says, "What is truth?" He desired to know the truth and yet quickly turned away from the one who was the truth without waiting for an answer. Having displayed a lack of interest in the truth itself, Pilate then revealed a lack of commitment to justice. He lacked the courage of his convictions, knowing that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and yet he still put him to death. He began a series of compromising moves to avoid dealing with the inconvenient truth in a difficult circumstance that Jesus was in fact guiltless. He had Jesus flogged for what would be the preparation to his crucifixion. And his last attempt to free Jesus fell on deaf ears while the Jewish crowd screamed for blood. "Crucify him!" Afraid, Pilate once again appealed to Jesus to defend himself and told him that he had the power to execute him or set him free. And Jesus' response was that Pilate only had the authority that God had been given to that had been given to him by God. Apart from this brief reply, Jesus remained silent before Pilate and fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The Jews tried another tack and said that freeing Jesus would result in being an enemy or a disloyalty to Rome and the emperor. Hearing these words, Pilate made a judgment, and if he had to choose between loyalty to the emperor and to Rome or some strange Jewish despised man, there was no question in his mind. And so he delivers Jesus over to be crucified. Let's continue reading from verse 13. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather say, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it should be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her home to his own home. After this, knowing that all was finished, Jesus said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Crucifixion is the cruelest, most painful execution method that we've ever come up with in the history of mankind. It was designed to be as long as possible, to drag out the death of the victim as long as possible, and yet while causing as much pain as possible. The crucified person often drowned in their own fluid after cardiopulmonary edema occurred, which is fluid around the lungs and heart, or they died from severe blood loss. Jesus went out carrying his own cross. And these words fulfill two scriptures and two symbols that we see in the Old Testament. Isaac carried his own cross, or the own wood for the sacrifice, as early as Genesis chapter 22. And the sin offering was often taken outside of the camp, as Jesus was taken outside of the camp to be crucified. And so Jesus was made sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin on the cross for us. This is the moment of the great exchange where my sin and your sin, my betrayal and your betrayal or denial is taken and placed on Jesus. And instead of our sin, we are given the righteousness of Jesus. If we acknowledge our need for him, and if we confess our sins to him and allow God to determine our life, then we are given the righteousness of Jesus. The moment of great exchange. When we stand before God on Judgment Day one day, it will be like standing, like Jesus standing before Pilate, and God will say, "I find no guilt in this man." God the Father will look upon us and judge us according to our acknowledgement of Jesus. And if we have placed our faith and our trust in him and have had our sins taken away by his perfect sacrifice, God will say, I find no guilt in this man." We have opportunity now to come before the Lord's table, where we've been reminded of the great and ultimate sacrifice that this table represents. The scriptures paint us a picture. The video paints us a picture as well that I'm sure doesn't do justice to the real situation. And the wafer and the cup of juice doesn't do justice to the real situation of how dark, how bloody, how agonizing how loud and uncomfortable Christ's death would have been. I ask that during this next song that we would take the time for some quiet reflection. But as the song is played through, I also urge you to come before God and confess your sins before coming and partaking in this table. I ask if the music team would come forward and we will sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" In your own time, please come forward for communion. Aaron, if we can have a helper, please. And please take the bread in your own time, hold the cup, and we will drink it after the song.
So please feel free to stand.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
question remains, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you are, eternity is assured for you. Forgiveness of sins is assured for you. Joy now and life everlasting. Would you drink with me the blood of the Lamb? I'd like to invite Jeff Cooper to come now and to read us the remainder of chapter 19, verses 31 to 42.
Jesus sighed as pierced, since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again another scripture said, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Thanks, Jeff. The breaking of the legs quickened the death of the crucified person. But Jesus, being already dead, didn't need any bones broken. Instead, he had his side pierced so that the scripture might be fulfilled, referring to his death. They looked upon whom they had pierced. From there, he was taken down from the cross and taken to a tomb where no one had been laid. He was washed, perfumed, and wrapped and laid in a tomb. John doesn't mention it, but there was a large stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb, therefore sealing the death of Jesus. It was a dark day in history, both literally and figuratively. Jesus was dead. His disciples had been scattered. They denied him and betrayed him. All hope would seem lost. And yet it was just the beginning of this time that we now call Easter. It was just the beginning because Sunday was coming. Good Friday doesn't seem like an apt kind of name for the day on which our Saviour dies, because the Son of God died. And yet when we consider the forgiveness, the blessings that have been bestowed upon us, that have been given to us through this day, kind of doesn't seem like a good enough name, does it? Jesus has died, But hope is not lost, for Sunday is coming. I invite you to stand and sing with us one final song, At the Cross.
Thing we can do is accept what the Lord Jesus has done for us. On Sunday, we'll be taking up an offering. The offering will be for Crossover Australia. That's the mission arm of the Australian Baptists. There's a couple of these forms, or should be quite a few, sitting out near where Jason is. If you'd like to take one of those, you can do an online donation, or anything that we take in cash on Sunday will go to Crossover on Easter Sunday. Please stay and we'll just close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks, Lord. We're reminded of this ultimate sacrifice, Lord, and the pain, the suffering, the anguish, Lord, that you went through, totally innocent. Yet for us, you would choose to go to the cross, to carry your own cross, and to be sacrificed, to be crucified for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, it is good that you did that. But Lord, we also remember this is only part of the story. And Lord, we look forward to Sunday when we can celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that, Lord, we have the ultimate of eternal life with you. Father, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone.